Dave Fanning on 2FM.
Now, Norman Cook, better known as Fatboy Slim, of course, is a man who never thought he'd take a summer off. But when the pandemic came along, it forced him to take the break. Well, I spoke to him this week as he gets ready to headline Indy 22 in Cork this summer. And I started by asking him what the summer of nothing was like for him.
It wasn't all bad. It's had its redeeming features. But the most striking was realising just how much I love my job. Really missing being out there and sharing music with people and entertaining people. And it kind of reinforced my faith that, you know, I'm doing the right thing. This is what I should be doing in life. And it made me vow never to moan about an airport delay ever again in my life.
I mean, is it? I never really thought of it this way. I mean, okay, Norman Cook, Fatboy Slim, but is it like he is Ziggy to you being Bowie, or he is Sasha Fierce to you being Beyonce, or Mephisto to Bono, or better still, Slim Shady to Eminem to Marshall Mathers? In other words, do you go up on stage? Oh, I'll open the box now. There's Fatboy Slim.
Yeah. These days, it's a very well, Fatboy Slim's a kind of cartoon caricature of me, my sort of stupid alter ego. But no, I mean, it's back in the old days, I wasn't quite sure necessarily where Norman ended and Fatboy began.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's very, very demarked. You know, it's like I spend most of the day, Norman Cook, a middle-aged father of two, very responsible, very compassionate and caring. And then I sort of transform. I put on the Hawaiian shirt and I throw off my shoes. And my tour manager slaps me twice around the face before I go on stage, and I turn into Fatboy, who is a feckless, irresponsible, juvenile hedonist who has no regards for safety or the feelings of others, apart from the notion that we all have to party together. And then when I come off stage, I put him back in the box and I go back to being normal and I go straight to bed. Yeah. That was an irresponsible lunatic, and you can't live your whole life like that. I have done in the past, live 24 hours as Fatboy, and it doesn't work.
That's the kind of thing I'm talking about, because the Fatboy Slim is this irresponsible hedonist. You don't want to take that home because that wouldn't make any sense. So when you when you went to rehab and you came out, did it change you completely as a person in terms of or is it the kids, or what is it, or is it the olderness?
Yeah, I mean, it changed my lifestyle, but it changed my mind and the way I think. When I first came out, I was absolutely paralyzed with fear about whether I could do my job anymore, because I'd never ever DJed sober, and I felt it would be unprofessional of me to do so, and I wasn't sure how it would work. But it turns out I'm arguably a better DJ sober, and I take that irresponsibility more seriously, if that makes any sense. So it made me think about my life, and in life, I don't spend my life running away from things and ignoring things and escaping. I live in the real world today, but that's why it's lovely to shake off those shackles for 2 hours and live back in that irresponsible fantasy world.
Yeah, by the way, I'm not trying to make it look as though you didn't do much in the 24 months of lockdown and all the rest, because you were doing the mixtape thing and every Friday for the first 20 weeks and all that. But you were also, like, you do this thing at home when you have the kids and you have a jigsaw. Is it to the point where you have one, you have a table which has a permanent jigsaw and you pop into it now and again, pop out of it, yeah?
Absolutely, yeah. The dining table was a permanent jigsaw because we never had anyone around for dinner. So, yeah, and it was the first summer, I must admit, it was the summer off I've always promised myself, but I didn't feel I could do, because obviously that's when the work really piles up. So to spend a summer totally with my kids on the beach, the weather was nice. It was the summer off I'd always promised myself, but I would never allow myself.
There are those who would say, like, you have to be productive and you have to do so many different things, or even take up a new whatever. The point about it is living in the moment. Did you discover that it has its own seriously brilliant rewards?
Yeah, I think the thing I noticed the most was obviously that I'm at a point in my career where I kind of feel, my number must be up fairly soon. So I've always been sort of determined to wring everything I can out of it while I'm still capable and wanted. But one of the reasons was that the idea of retirement, I probably could financially afford to retire. And I'm not sure people wouldn't raise too many eyebrows if I retired at this age. But it was like looking at what retirement looked like. It was just this abyss of nothing and golf. And it scared the living wits out of me. So, but having a bit of enforced retirement, I realised I'm actually quite happy with my own company. I just, you know, when there's no FOMO, I'm quite actually happy not doing very much. And I didn't really accomplish much more than really getting to know my kids a lot better and taking a step back. Yeah, I didn't do that, you know, the difficult sixth album or take up pottery or learn a foreign language. I just pissed about with my kids.
Yeah, that's good enough. Well, hold on. By the way, we are talking to Fatboy Slim. Let's take this piece of music. And by the way, you're playing, as in, see, that's it. Your character is playing at the end of July at the Independence gig. In other words, in Mitchelstown in Cork. You're headlining the Sunday, the 31st, that is. Let's take this.
Right about now. The Funk Soul Brother, check it out now. The Funk Soul Brother, right about now.
There you go. That's music from Fatboy Slim. We're talking to Norman Cook. So Norman, during lockdown, I don't know why I'm staying there, but in Ibiza, like, you know, yeah, people had these live streams and online gigs and all the rest of that. But you had these socially distanced pool parties in Ibiza. Were they good?
They were better than nothing. Yeah. It was a bit like having sex with your clothes on. It was, you know, people couldn't get up properly and dance, and it was very sort of controlled. But for me, as a DJ, there was kind of, as soon as I hear a tune that I really love, and I spend half my week looking for new tunes, but as soon as I hear a tune I love, I have to share it with people for me to enjoy it. It's a bit like it doesn't exist. It's like a tree falling in the forest when there's no one there.
Right, yeah.
And there were so many tunes that I really wanted to play. That's why I was doing like the lockdown mixes, just to keep that kind of my relationship with music and with introducing other people to it. So just to play those tunes really loud to some other people.
Of course,
They weren't the greatest parties, but like I said, you know, it was any port in a storm at that point. I mean, those pool parties only came, I was on holiday anyway with my family. There was this like sort of window when we were allowed to go, and we knew we were going to have to quarantine for 2 weeks when we got back, but we all decided that it was worth it. So we just went, and I just texted all my friends who I knew on the island and said, oh, I'm here, got a pair of headphones and some memory sticks if anyone's got anything going on. But it was all, very hastily cobbled together, but better than nothing.
Yeah, sounds good, all right. But I mean, like, the thing about it is, funny enough, imagine if this was 20 years ago and the heyday of you changing the culture. Without Zoom and without the internet, do you think a lot of the stuff would have been possible?
I don't know. Sometimes I think about that. But I'll be honest, when I do think about how life is different, I just think, Christ, what we got away with because it was never filmed. And because and it was never, you know. And ideas I had, if I sort of tweeted them or Instagrammed them, some of the ideas I had in those days, if I'd done that at the time, you know, like 2 days later when I come round, my management team would be going, oh, Christ, what have you done now? So I think it was good that a lot of our behaviour in those days was kind of more private and not so, you know, because once something's out there on the on the web, it's like everyone can see it, and not everybody would have always got my sense of humor or sense of what we were trying to achieve or destroy or upset or wind up. So I think it's probably for my own safety, it was better that we didn't have the internet in those days. But I mean, it's amazing that sometimes I think we're just doing a kind of retrospective of 20 years of the Big Beach Boutique, because we're celebrating the 20th anniversary by doing it again in Brighton. And one of the things that came is like, how the hell did we manage to attract that many people without social media?
Well, yeah, how the hell did you attract that many people without social media? Because social media is the thing that gets them together very quickly these days.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just a moment. It was a moment when everybody was, all the tribes of dance music were celebrating the fact that we were kind of not underground anymore. We were kind of out there, and it was celebrating my relationship with Brighton, the city and the council, encouraging me to do it. But everything, you know, even down to just literally the weather, you know, that was the first sunny weekend of the year, and everyone was like, oh, let's go and do something. What should we do? Oh, Fat Boys on the Beach.
Do you know Fat Boy on the Beach and Fat Boy Everywhere Else, in terms of what you did, I mentioned there about changing the culture in the 90s. Do you think that, like, you know, the fact that it is a £6 billion economy, the whole sort of spectrum right across. Now, the government had other things to worry about during the pandemic, and I know you understand that. It's not that stupid necessarily, but it was very much overlooked. The fun, the good vibes, the good feeling, the well-being, and let's, everybody talks about mental health these days, that music and all that sort of stuff gives. Do you think the government don't necessarily see that? They just don't get it.
Well, I think this current government don't see an awful lot of things that are, you know, fairly basic human needs. I'm not surprised that we were low down their list during lockdown. I mean, it's quite a nebulous thing, the idea that it's good for people's mental health that they congregate in large numbers and listen to stupidly loud music, and that they commune and feel, you know, comfortable and loved and felt. You know, everybody had to, you know, lose whatever social life they had, and everybody had to kind of live in their own bubble rather than being the sociable beings that we are. But I'd say it's a very powerful healer, music bringing us together. But it's powerful, but it's not necessarily important. There were moments when I thought the government really doesn't care about our business, but I figured they had bigger fish to fry, and it seems they can't even fry the big fish, let alone us little ones.
Yeah, okay, but just one other thing before I play another piece of music, and it's this, that, like, that thing I mentioned, the fact that you were such a seminal figure in what was basically, like, you know, a small industry. Like, you mentioned once a great thing about when you started out, you were about as important as the guy who collects the glasses at the end of the pub. Maybe not even that important. Maybe you're on the same level. And look what's happened since. I mean, like, the rise of DJ culture, the whole spectrum of what it is. Is it a good feeling, Mr. In Charge of It All?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's very satisfying. Again, you know, having it taken away from 18 months, I realised just how important it is in human beings communicating, and the power and the energy and the solace that people get doing that, to be the conductor, to be the shepherd of all that, is a very rewarding thing, because you kind of, you feel like you're making those people's evenings and making their escape complete, but also you're witnessing it, you're right in the heart of it. So, you know, I get so overexcited. That's why it's easy to become Fatboy Slim on stage, because even without stimulants, I become so overstimulated by the atmosphere that's in there.
Okay, I'm going to play two more tracks, but this is the second last one now, which is Right Here, Right Now. And, like, just tell me about the mix with, like, do you see Greta Thunberg doing whatever she does at the UN and saying, I could do something with that?
No, I'll be honest. Somebody else did it first on Instagram. Somebody before, I think before I'd even woken up and heard.
Somebody else did everything first. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, no, somebody put it together before I'd even heard her speech in New York. And just because she said Right Here, Right Now. And so I just sort of took that and ran with it, and then put the visual to it. And the visual, it just, the way it was filmed is almost as powerful. I mean, because I watched that night after night at shows, and there's something, she really reminds me of a young Johnny Rotten, just the look of fire in her face and the way she's spitting out those things. So, yeah, it was just, I mean, it wasn't just a gag because she said Right Here, Right Now. It's something that I felt I could be part of spreading that message. I take great pleasure out of upsetting people by playing it in front of them. You know, I love watching the comments of people just going, oh, you've fallen for her, you know. You know, and so it's, you know, I don't have a huge amount of my personal politics in what I do, but right. I think things like that transcends politics. This is talking about humanity saving itself.
Okay, well then let's take a little listen to what we're talking about.
We will not let you get away with this. Right here, right now, is where we draw the line. The world is waking up, and change is coming, whether you like it or not.
There it is, Fatboy Slim, Right Here, Right Now, Greta Thunberg, etc. Now, listen, just one other thing I want to say is this. When you were at school, first of all, like, the music that was so good for you, punk saved you, did it? Or punk, you found yourself with punk, did it? It was the perfect time to be involved in music, or to get involved in music. What age was that? 14, 15, whatever it was?
Yeah, I was 14 in 1977. So it was, I was poised. I just started listening to, like, Kiss and Rainbow, because I wanted something loud. And
so you were saved by punk.
I was saved, literally, within about a year of getting into heavy rock. punk came along. And yeah, I mean, I was just really lucky that, that I was growing up at a time when that just, and that influenced pretty much everything that I'd done ever since, that idea of you know, let's tear up the rule book. Yes. Let's, you know, let's not be scared of upsetting people that we like to upset. Let's do everything ourselves, you know, independently. And you know, and just that kind of mischievous rule breaking that I think I've carried the punk ethos with me for most of my career since. The House Martins right up to this present day.
Yeah, in fact, funny enough, now you mentioned the House Martins, the first time I ever interviewed you, you were in the House Martins. I have a fabulous picture at home of you with the boys and myself in the studio. That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. Yeah, I mean, that's why it's so nice to see you again, Dave.
Yeah, no, it's very nice to talk to you and see you too. Oh, by the way, it's even like further back. I mean, whatever happened to the Stomping Pond Frogs, for God's sake?
Well, every now and then, I mean, funnily enough, with the internet, people keep sending me pictures of us.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because everybody's kind of going through their old pictures and they find, photos of us busking in Crawley. Yeah. This Saturday afternoon.
When you were in school, you were in a violin class. Did you have many friends in that? For instance, Keir Starmer, the head of the Labour Party. Was he in your violin class?
Yeah. I mean, he was in my class at school for 5 years. So we kind of grew up from 11 till sixth form. We were in a class together. So yeah, I knew him very well. I don't remember that we had violin lessons together. I'd forgotten that I even played the violin until he reminded me by
talking. So one of your extracurricular activities besides jigsaws is you have a stake in Brighton and Hove Albion Football Club. You must be pretty happy that, you know, mid-table for the end of the year it's good, isn't it?
Oh, anything above the relegation zone is good for us.
That's what I mean.
No, we're just finishing our best season ever in our 123.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So no, I mean, of course, I'm so proud, and I mean, this might be as high as we ever get, but it's very enjoyable.
I don't know, aim for the stars. I'll tell you, funny thing is that on Brighton's Walk of Fame, they have a star to you, Norman. Does it say Norman Cook or does it say Fatboy Slim?
It says, well, the bus says Norman Cook, and the star says Fatboy Slim.
Right, and do you know, like just a piece of information, people. The star right beside you is that of Winston Churchill.
Yeah, I think Winston Churchill and ABBA.
Oh,
bizarrely,
really?
Yeah. Well, because ABBA won the Eurovision Song Contest in Brighton, which is why they got on.
Yeah. Very good. Okay, so look, I'll tell you what then. We're going to see you at the end of July at Independence. I'll give out the full details in Mitchelstown and Cork. Just as a matter of interest, like, I mean, back up on stage, it's just, will a lot of the music, or might it be from any lockdown mixtape kind of thing, or is it always new stuff, or what is it going to be?
It's always a bit of everything. You know, sort of reworked versions of my tunes. I mean, it depends on the mood of the day. It depends, you know, when I get there and we look at the size of the crowd and the weather and what kind of mood people are in. So I never know exactly what I'm going to play, but there'd be a mixture. If you followed all the lockdown mixes, you might recognise one or two. But I do try and keep it up to date as well.
Right. Okay. Well, listen, Norman, it's been a pleasure as usual. Thank you so much for talking with us. We'll see you in July.
A pleasure to speak to you still after all these years.
Yeah, right. Indeed. And here's another piece of music from the guy in the box. That'll be Fatboy Slim. Good man, Norman. Thank you. Take it easy. Good luck.
Cheers.
Dave Fanning on 2FM.